Hello, and welcome to On Repeat with Beth and Susanna. This is a frank and honest podcast discussing the reality of living with OCD. Disclaimer, we are not mental health professionals. Please visit OCD Action for services that can support and help you. Excited to share this episode with you. Beth travelled all the way up to Manchester for a cuppa and a chat with the wonderful Saoirse McCaffrey.
I think for me, just like knowing that other people experienced it too and had come through that,
yeah,
and are in a different place, and I cannot express what a different place in my life I'm in to when I was, like, throughout my childhood, and then when I was kind of like in my very early 20s, like, I have a whole life that I really love.
Yay.
And I really didn't.
Saoirse is an actor and writer from West Yorkshire. She makes theatre, tells stories and says that the rest of the time, and we really respect this, she's probably having a snack. After struggling with OCD since the age of 5, Saoirse's personal experience is interwoven into her one-woman play, Lady Bones. Since its debut at the Vaults Festival in London, Lady Bones has been performed at the Edinburgh Fringe in 2019 and is currently on a national tour. It has also been recorded as an audio drama on Audible and makes a cracking listen. Plus, you get 4 other awesome plays with it. Just search for Theatre at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe 2019. We hope you find listening to Saoirse as uplifting and life-affirming as we did. Beth claims she had goosebumps at the interview, but then again, she can be a bit dramatic. Enjoy! Just to warn you, there is some explicit language in use during this chat.
We are drinking tea, in case there's any awkward...
We are.
But so you're doing a show at the moment called
Yes.
Lady Bones.
I am.
And it's based on your personal experience. It's a story about OCD dungarees, which is why I'm wearing my dungarees
today. Lucy, yes, Lucy, represent.
And you would get on when I saw that.
Absolutely.
And being weird, but not a weirdo, mm-hmm, right? I really liked that phrase, which is why I want to start with it. I wanted to ask you, do you feel still like a weirdo, or do you feel like you've learnt about yourself and about having OCD and stuff, and you now feel like, I'm weird, but I'm not a weirdo?
Yeah, where am I at in that?
Where are you at with the weirdo thing?
I think I'm like half and, very much half and half still. I still have a lot of time where I think, ugh, and half of that I think is just like a hangover from how I was when the OCD was quite intense. But yeah, I think I'm much more accepting of how I am and how I work in terms of like my brain and what's going on.
Yeah.
But I think when I was little, I definitely, because, so I've had OCD since I was like 4 or 5, so really little. But I wasn't diagnosed until I was 20, so I had no idea, and I'd never really heard of OCD beyond the like, she's so OCD or whatever.
Really?
And nobody had said that about me ever, so I just had never.
Yeah, because it's not normally
because my OCD wasn't about like washing my hands or cleanliness or things, mm-hmm, being particular.
Yeah,
it just never like connected. And so yeah, I was on a train and I downloaded like a Channel 4 documentary to watch on my iPhone. I was like, and it was about like teenagers with mental health problems, and there was this one girl who had OCD, and it was like watching a mirror of my brain.
No way.
And I had a proper like freak out moment,
God,
and was like,
me.
That's me.
Isn't that insane though?
Yeah,
that
mad.
You didn't,
literally mad.
You just had, you'd all you knew about OCD was the stereotyped thing until,
yeah, completely,
until you saw that documentary.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that goes to show what education is, doesn't it? Because I had been like, I had lots of friends who had mental health stuff going on, and I'd been really supportive of that, and I'd never sort of judged that kind of stuff, but
you just didn't realise that you had.
I just had no idea.
That's so, but you can look back at being 5.
Yeah, very clearly.
And can you see the obsessive compulsive disorder behaviours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, I think it was really hard for my family as well, because when we looked back, then it was all very clear what it was. And so I think like my parents found it really hard because they were like, well, could we have done something?
Yeah.
And because nobody picked up on it. And I'd been to the doctor before a lot with what was OCD basically, but that just nobody had ever really asked about, or
was it health
mentioned.
Anxiety that you kind of like,
it was just like mood stuff and feeling physically ill, which then was just anxiety.
Right. Yeah.
Like feeling sick and not being able to do stuff.
Yeah. But they didn't pick up on it.
Yeah, because it just wasn't. Yeah, and I had a super clear sense that it wasn't something I could share with anybody.
Oh, right.
So I was very aware that and this is like the weirdo thing, I just thought that there was something wrong with me as a person, mm-hmm. rather than that I had a condition yeah. that was making things tricky.
Yeah.
So I just would, I was very, yeah, like, sure to not, like, let out what was going on inside.
Right.
So I, like, I had a whole thing about a lot of my OCD, like, revolved around, like, worrying about harm coming to my family. So I used to, like, check up my wake up my mum in the night to check she was still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I'd always just be like, oh, I had a nightmare. Or because I couldn't be like, well, I just wanted to make sure I didn't do the wrong thing so you died, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean? So,
yeah. And did that yeah. turn into checking her, like, more than once in the night?
Yeah, and just, like, and it was really hard on my family because,
yeah,
like, nobody does well with no sleep. Like,
nope.
And, yeah, so it was very... And I think that was a big... When I started getting better, I think I then was, like... super happy for a while and then just had an absolute crash and was so sad about all the stuff that I'd kind of made difficult or lost out on or
yes.
so that's been really strange, I think.
When you say getting better, is that when you were 20 and you knew what
yeah
you had, right?
So I think because it'd been going on for so long and I just didn't know what it was and it was very kind of up and down. I had some like really tricky times and then sometimes where it was kind of I was managing it
yeah
but
I can relate
not
to that.
Very well, yeah,
yeah,
kind of with sort of invented coping mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I was diagnosed, I think because I was like, oh, it's a thing, it's not just me.
Yeah, I'm so relieved.
I then just sort of threw myself into
getting better.
Yeah, and I was really lucky that I found a therapist who did CBT that just happened to really work for me.
Oh, good.
And so again, it's not like recovery is not linear, is it? But so it wasn't a simple like journey,
no.
but I did start quite quickly.
Oh, that's good.
In terms of, or it fell quite quickly. It took a few years, but
yeah. And then you have the crash of like. Ugh.
Yeah, I just felt so sad that I'd kind of missed out on stuff that, had I known all that earlier, I maybe would have been able to, or maybe not. But
yeah. That's probably something that so many people can relate to, and I don't know if this makes you feel better about it or not, but as I was saying before we started recording, like, me and Susanna both were diagnosed age 10.
Yeah.
And I still think we probably both do suffer with the guilt or the sadness about what OCD might have taken from us or put on family members. And
yeah, massively.
That's a really difficult thing, though, about it, isn't it? Because you can feel real guilt about the way it's... making your family or loved ones feel, but sometimes the OCD is just even stronger than that emotion. It's
hard to understand. And it's kind of like, it's very odd as well now to kind of talk about it because it seems quite, it's obviously very logical, but that's the way it works. But it seems like when you're six, if the option's like your mum dying or you being able to keep her alive, like, you're probably going to not take the risk of...
100%,
And especially when... I don't know when it started for you, but because I was quite little, I think then... And children's brains haven't completely developed when you're sort of 4 or 5, so you're kind of not... You're just taking the world as it comes and working out how to make it happen. So,
definitely.
Yeah, very surreal.
I was about 9. I totally agree with what you just said about the fact that you were like, but I need to... If there's any chance that that means... Because a lot of mine was similar. Like, what if I don't do that, then my mum will die. Or, like, really similar stuff. I think it's a lot of responsibility stuff, isn't it?
Or
when you're that age as well.
Responsibility stuff.
Or actually any age, to be fair. But, it's kind of that feeling of, oh, well, I have to do it in case. Because what if... That's where OCD manages to wedge its way in, I think.
Yeah, massively, like, it's very insidious. Because obviously there was lots of other bits of life that wasn't that, but...
Mm.
It was very much like an overarching thing, and it's
really
quite a long time for something to develop.
Mm. I think it's really common, though. I think there's a lot of people who haven't necessarily even been diagnosed, who, like you, they might not have seen anything about it until they were by chance watching that documentary.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of kind of like shame related stuff as well, because it feels like such a sort of isolating, weird thing. And I just have this super like strong sense that if I told someone, they'd just like ostracize me and be like, you're strange, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I think as well with OCD, because it feels very individual to you, doesn't it?
It really does.
Even though it's and then it's really surreal talking to other people with OCD and they're like, I get that too, and it's exactly the same pattern of thinking.
I'm getting, like, waves of relief
chatting
to you right now, but
it's really cool. Like, not cool that people experience
it,
but solidarity is ace.
Yes.
But yeah, just that really strange thing of it feeling like it's only going on in your brain. So then to, like, actually say that.
And it does tend to... It picks personal things, doesn't it?
Massively, and it's that... It, like, really targets the things that matter to you.
Yeah.
I was so I went to the charity that I've developed the show with, OCD UK.
Great. Yes,
so they helped me when I was really ill.
Did they?
When I was kind of like first diagnosed and first like, what is OCD on Google?
Yeah.
But they they do like a conference every year, and I went when I was really ill, and then I went back after like 6 years, and it was really kind of really like heartening to return in like a really different place. And I did like a talk with my mum about what it's like having OCD or having a family member with OCD, and that was really lovely, and then chatted to lots of people. But a doctor was talking about it, and he was saying OCD only really ever happens with nice people, because it's like it's all about the responsibility and the care and the kind of like it really targets the things that matter to you, which is often just like being a nice person or
in a way that can be quite reassuring when you're told that as the person with it.
Yeah,
if you're so like embarrassed about it sometimes, or you felt embarrassment or shame about it, to then be told that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the time, because a lot of the time the thought is like, I'm not a good person.
Ugh.
Because it's a value that matters to you rather than...
Do you know, I'm having a really weird moment of just sitting here talking to you and thinking, we're about the same age. Imagine if we'd been able to talk to other people, like talk to each other like this, but age 10. I love that they do these conferences now and stuff, because, and they've got like OCD youth groups and stuff, which I do think they, I don't know if they had that. You said about feeling shame about telling people you thought that they'd ostracise you. How was telling people when you finally did, like your friends? And
I think it was kind of different once it changed a lot once I'd worked out what it was. Because I think the issue before was I just thought there was something wrong with me as a human.
Yeah.
Like my personality or like who I am or the core of me.
Yeah.
Rather than it being, so in a way it was kind of a relief to be like, oh, it's
not
like
me.
It's an anxiety disorder, like it's not my problem,
such a relief.
I have to deal with it, but it's not like who I am. So I think that was, and then I was a bit like sheepish, I guess, at talking to people about it at first, and like doing this play has just like got rid of any of the rest of that, because it's just like
so used to it now.
Yeah, and I also think I don't like, I can see not like the positives of it, but I feel like I can appreciate, because my brain is like this, I can appreciate the positive sides of how I work as a person as well. I can be compassionate with other people who've experienced similar stuff, because I understand what it's like, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and I think it's really nice to have made a piece of creative work about a time in my life that was difficult and turned it into something that's like funny and
positive.
Kind of,
this is what I want to ask you actually about this. Can you describe, or just, you know, what is the play about for anyone that might not have seen it? So it's called Lady Bones.
It's called Lady Bones. So it's a solo, like one person interactive show. I am the person.
Yes.
Yikes, why? And it's about a young archaeologist who discovers the skeleton of a kind of medieval girl. And she has OCD, the archaeologist, not the girl. And she becomes really fixated on who this person was and kind of goes on a journey to find out who the bones belong to. And kind of it draws her into this kind of mystery, and her kind of ordered life starts to unravel. Yeah, that's sort of the tagline anyway.
That's a really good tagline. I love that.
Yeah.
OCD is always about like trying to stop things unraveling as
massively,
well. Massively.
Massively. Stop things like spiraling down into a huge.
I mean, firstly, I love that it's got archaeology in it.
Thank you.
Not that I'm in any way.
I am not an archaeologist, but I really wanted to be an archaeologist when
you?
I was about 10.
Oh, cool. What I like about it is it's a really cool concept, because the fact that your character in modern day with OCD is studying the bones of a girl who you discover has been killed for being a witch.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's not too much of a spoiler.
Absolutely not.
For anyone that might see. Do you feel, in a way, lucky that you were born in the time we are in now?
Yeah.
Rather than then, essentially.
Hugely.
Do you think you'd have been killed for being a witch, sort of? That's what
I mean,
I'm
who knows? But I mean, yeah, like the parallel in the play is kind of like both the characters, like the character that I play and this girl who was thought to be a witch are like ostracized for being weirdos, you know, and not accepted.
Yeah.
But and also, I mean, just in terms of mental health, like, yes, I'm very glad I'm born in this era. I think people still don't understand OCD, and I think people definitely didn't before. And I know, like, if I hadn't got help when I had, I would not be in a good place / here. It's a savage, savage wee beast, it's OCD.
It's so savage. I think this is why it's so important for plays like Lady Bones to be seen by people, and for people to learn a bit more about what OCD, or to not be using the phrase.
Yeah, OCD, isn't it? I think because it's a joke a lot of the time, isn't it? The whole like.
I think it's what you just said about the fact that it's so savage. That's such a good word for it. It's like this evil little shit.
It can be quite intense.
How was the experience of writing about your own mental health?
It was really quite trippy, actually. Because I didn't particularly plan for it to be written, to be performed at the first, because I think I was just...
Really?
I was doing a really boring temp job between acting jobs. I'd get home and just feel a bit dead creatively, so I'd just do a bit of writing at night. And then it kind of became a thing, and then I made it into a piece. And then it sort of, like, happened from there. But it was very, like, the idea of putting my sort of, like, tangled, strange experience, like, out into the world felt, like, very frightening. But quite exciting, too, I think.
Yeah.
And I think, like, it's been quite... Not to, like, over-egg the pudding, but it's been really eye-opening that...
Egg that pudding.
Thank you. Put the egg in the pudding, yeah. The egg replacer in the pudding.
Right.
But, like, having the response from people has been so, like, heartwarming, and I think I underestimated how many people would connect with it, because I kind of thought, well, maybe other young women with OCD might be like, oh, I sort of get that, but the sort of range of people has been much wider than I thought, which has been really cool, and there's been lots of messages from people who have like a child with OCD or a sibling, or you know, just being like, I think I understand this more now, which is really cool.
That's brilliant.
But I think if I'd seen, like we were saying, if I'd seen a film or a play or read something about OCD when I was younger, I just would have felt a bit less like on my own.
I remember just being told David Beckham. I actually need to look more into
David Beckham.
I remember sitting in the therapy room age 10 and being told, "Is there, you know, some people have it, like even some famous people have it. Like apparently David Beckham has OCD. I don't know if that's true. Or
I don't know if
he
that's
said in an interview about being once. OCD about his shoes or something.
Maybe he does.
Maybe he does. I don't want to belittle his experience, you know. But that's
sort of what you have to work on, like David Beckham.
10-year-old girl being told David Beckham, like. And now I hear it is being spoken about more.
But I
think you're right. I think now is the time to, like, really go for it with this stuff, with plays like Lady Bones, with books.
And with this podcast.
Hopefully with this podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
Because how did it actually... Obviously, you were writing from a place of, like, I just need to get some creative... How did it feel, though, writing that down? Was it therapeutic?
I often come back to this, because I've been asked this a couple of times in interviews and things, and I think, actually...
Yeah,
in a funny kind of way. Not in a kind of stereotypically, like, oh, I feel so released. But I think I use writing as a way of, like, understanding the world and kind of exploring something that perplexes me, maybe, or scares me a bit. So I think it was really... And I think I also wanted to, like... I also wanted to make a character with OCD that had... Even though she's massively struggling in all areas of her life because of this stuff, she has... like an interesting job and
such an interesting job,
a kind of interesting relationships with people and family and friends and stuff. So I think I wanted it to be like a whole person and not her just be the condition that she's dealing with. Because I think a lot of the time, and this is completely valid also and so needed, but I think a lot of the time in theatre, it's about the difficulties of the thing, whatever the thing is. And that's really illuminating also, but I kind of wanted it to be about recovery being possible,
right,
and there being
living,
even though it's
your life with it,
yeah,
but working through it,
yeah,
which again I'm wary of doing any spoilers, but I feel like it's a hopeful message
definitely
from it.
Definitely,
which is really nice.
And I would have thought, like, when I was a child or a teenager, I thought that's how I was going to feel for the rest of my life. And I have so much more brain space now that it's just...
I've written that down as a question.
Did you?
I wrote down, look, have you had times where you felt like it would never get better?
Yeah, massively, like hugely. I just sort of thought that that's the way it was going to be.
Absolutely, like...
Even when I started having therapy and I was just so, just distrustful of my... And she was... I had a really wonderful therapist, and I think that's why it worked for me, having CBT.
That's
and,
really good.
And it kind of worked with where I was at in my brain as well. And I think often, apparently, statistically, it's quite common for with women for OCD to kind of like come out in the open when you're about 20.
Wow.
In your early 20s.
Do you know why that is?
I don't know. No,
I wonder if that's just kind of.
I don't know if it's about
out of school and.
Yeah, I don't know if it's about being more open or if it's about that's when the chemistry in your brain makes it worse. Or I'm not sure, really. But
interesting.
But I was very much that.
Yeah.
But I just was like, who is this woman that thinks she's going to
cure me?
Yeah, maybe a bit better. Like, what does she think she's doing? Step inside my brain. And it felt so intrusive because intrusive thoughts were. But because you've had a whole, especially because I'd had a long time to think like this. I've been thinking like
such
this since
time.
I developed my patterns of thinking when I was a tiny kid.
So you had to untangle those.
Yeah, and I still find. So, like, I've really tackled a lot of the OCD, but I still find that sometimes I get almost like a hangover.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the feeling and I'm like, oh, this is what it is. And then I just have to remind myself that it's just
like
a pattern rather than an actual real thing, rather than the threat being real in life.
Yeah.
It's just like my brain goes to that route because it's like, this is what we've been doing for 15 years. Let's do this now.
Gosh.
Yeah. So it's so weird.
I'm having like several like eye-opening moments listening to you talking. That's really true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever used medication to help with your recovery?
I haven't. I think if it works for you, it can be great. And I know people who it's been like essential for to kind of almost have some respite and alleviate things a bit so that then they can try maybe CBT or find something else that works for them. But
Definitely.
For me, I think because I was so ill and then suddenly found out that it was OCD and then sort of launched headfirst into like
CBT
straight away because I was on a waiting list for NHS therapy,
didn't get anywhere.
Was so ill that I just my family helped me pay for private therapy.
How long were you waiting for?
You know what, I can't even remember, but it was
because you were probably in such a bad headspace.
Yeah, and I actually don't remember a lot of stuff. I think my that period of time is actually quite. And I say I got better pretty quickly, but I had therapy for about a year and a half.
Right.
So I like that period of time is sort of condensed into a bit of a muddle because I was quite ill. Like, so I don't really remember.
Do you know roughly just for anyone that might be going through a similar thing as you at the moment, like? At what point it started to feel like, oh, the therapy's helping? Was it like 6 months in or a year?
I think maybe after like 10 sessions I was like, oh, I get it, like it's gonna, there's a shift. And I think because so a lot of the stuff that I did with my therapist was like the doing the anti-OCD thing, exposure response prevention. It's called quite terrifyingly, but
so terrifying sounding.
But that really like obviously like supported with CBT and other stuff, so it wasn't just like making me do the thing that was scary. But I've always liked a challenge, so I sort of like threw myself into that and found it like a really not enjoyable but like terrifying but oddly
rewarding
kind of challenge to do. So I had this whole thing about I was just so scared that my mum was going to die in the night. So I worked out with my therapist and also with my mum that I was going to tell her, I hope you die in the night. And it felt like...
so hard.
I felt like I was going to murder my mum, like, which felt really intense, obviously, as you would. But it got to, like, the night time and I said the, mum, I hope you die in the night.
Oh, is it even
and
hard to say
I went to bed. No.
Oh, that's great.
Mum, I hope you die in the night. Oh, my mum. If my mum hears this, she'll be very happy.
I just did a little bit of exposure to that.
Yes, girl.
Getting the anxiety,
No,
well done. You've inspired me.
Thank you. Yeah, and sometimes if I can feel my brain going towards the like, oh, if I wear that pair of trousers, something bad's going to happen. I put on the pair of trousers and
well
go
done.
Out and I do my day. So that kind of helps for me, I think. Doing that kind of made me see that it was going to start shifting somehow. And then once I got into that, and there were a lot more ups. It wasn't just like then it was a straight road up. It was a lot of ups and downs and like life is complicated. Your brain's complicated, but.
And still now you're saying sometimes, you know, it's I sometimes wonder, you know, whether I think recovery is possible for people. Sometimes I personally can't imagine never having it, even as, like you just said, like the weird kind of hangover of it. Mm. I can't imagine never having that. But I think there are people out there that do get to that
point. I think
there
definitely are. And I think for me, it's because I think for a long time I kind of thought about it as like the intrusive thoughts being like OCD thoughts. but they're not actually OCD thoughts, they're just thoughts that you then, like, the OCD kind of attaches onto, and you can still have the intrusive thought, and it's about what you do with it.
It's about what you do with it, because it's all about the meaning and importance that you attach to the thought.
We did CBT.
Oh, yeah, we've done therapy.
But I think it's... That's interesting. Well, that's cool.
It's like everything you're saying, I'm like... Yes, I've heard a therapist say that to me before.
Oh, no, I hope I'm not just, like,
quoting... No, you're not at all.
The therapist's teacher's pet, like...
God, you're such a CBT geek.
I know, baby.
No, you're kind of reminding me of the stuff that it can be quite... Because, again, this is something which I'll probably need to do another whole episode on, but it's then keeping yourself... Wow, once you feel
and
well,
that is
isn't
a, like a huge challenge. I think it's like practice is good, like, and I'm a lot better at it now than I was 4 years ago, or 6 years ago, or whatever.
Yeah,
but I think it's a whole road, and it's a lot easier when I've had a lovely night's sleep and I've had lots of food and things are going things are going relatively kind of smoothly. It's all great, but then if I'm tired or hungry, it all just falls by the wayside.
Right.
And I find also with not stress as in actual stress, but just stresses in anything slightly out of the ordinary, whether that's good or bad. I find it a lot harder to manage. So when I've got really exciting things going on, I have to... kind of just as hard as when there's bad things going on.
Yeah, almost worse sometimes for me, because it kind of goes, right, well, what's going to happen that's bad then? Because you're having a good time right now.
Yeah.
So let's try and make sure that nothing bad happens.
Don't you dare think that it's going to be fine.
Oh, that mole looks a bit dodgy, Beth. Blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I mean?
Which, like, for acting, because acting is so exciting.
Yeah.
Getting a job is exciting. Working with people, you know, like, it's the best. But, yeah.
Okay, we've gone so beautifully into this segment.
Great.
Because this is what I want to talk to you about as well. Obviously, you're an actor. Mm-hmm. You're a writer.
Mm-hmm.
You're freelance, I'm guessing.
Very freelance.
Yeah. So how do you find... being somebody that does suffer with OCD, or, you know, has suffered with it, and which is all about uncertainty and control.
And being freelance is
the opposite.
A lack of certainty.
I always find
control,
it really, really interesting for myself that this is what I've always kind of wanted to do, is the whole acting thing. And yes, I've got OCD, so it's like, it's just weird to me that's
That happens. Yeah, same. I think with the actual acting, like when I'm actually acting or working or whatever, something I've always really loved is, oddly, maybe because it's a break from the kind of control thing, but I love anything that's like improv or the actual being in the moment, because it's almost like, because there's no way of controlling it, so you can just go with it.
Yeah.
And so I've always found that acting and kind of like swimming in the sea are the two times when I don't, OCD is not in my head.
Oh my God.
And now it's a lot better because I have a lot more time without stuff
without
going
it.
On. But when I was younger...
it was almost like a release then.
Yeah, because it's just a complete break. But the actual, like,
lifestyle,
day-to-day work of managing being freelance, it's tricky. And I think it's just, like, very slowly finding ways to make it work. I've had to come to terms with the fact that I'm slightly slower at doing things than other people.
Okay.
And so if... I have to say no to things sometimes, and I can't do, like, some of my mates who are actors, they could go into rehearsal, go out for a meal afterwards, have a meeting with somebody about some other project, and I just can't do all that in one day. So I have to, it just takes me a lot longer to do things sometimes, because I need a lot of rest.
Yeah,
I don't know, like,
well, you've probably got so much going on in your brain that you're tired.
Yeah. But I think this year actually I'm finding out how to manage it.
Right.
And I think putting in place those secure things in life, like having somewhere I like living, and make sure I always have food, getting lots of sleep, all those like basic boring things are, I think, the ways.
Yeah. This is relevant to anybody that's freelance in any kind of industry anyway, even if they don't have a mental health disorder, isn't it?
Massively.
It's hard to be not having a routine.
Yeah, and a structure.
A structure. Or then when you add... whether it's OCD or whether it's depression or another mental health disorder on top of that.
And then being an actor, which is then volatile and wild and fun anyway.
Wild, fun, depressing.
Yeah. Every time I forget, because you get a job and it's great, and then halfway through the job I'll have that moment where, like, as soon as this is over, I'm out of work again.
What am I going to do? I think that's really good, though, what you said about having those secure things that you give to yourself that are nothing to do with acting.
Yeah, and acting is amazing, but it's not life or death.
It's not everything.
And it's not your whole...
Yeah, and I think that is something that you slowly, I'm sure, we're still learning to like really believe that, but you learn it more and more, don't you, the longer that you
and it
are
feels
out.
So important and so exciting. Out of drama school
if you go to drama school, but you know what I mean, as long as you're
like out in the world making
the more you're unemployed
work,
really
definitely
you get used to like the times where you're like, oh right, okay, I need to be relying on seeing my friends every Thursday night for food, or not the idea that I might get an audition to keep me happy. Cause
yeah, definitely. Because
food with your friends, that's going to happen.
And it's in your control. You can be like, come round for food. It's happening.
Exactly.
But the audition, is so out of your control. Yeah. And I think it's that, and it is that thing with OCD. It's all about wanting certainty, wanting control. So I think it's just practice. I think something that's helped me as well has been to kind of, sounds a bit silly, but like kind of practice feeling a bit more okay with uncertainty.
No,
and just like
really
living
good.
In the uncertain moment and being okay to feel a bit and know that it's just like a tolerable feeling, that it's just a feeling.
Learn to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah, which is also a bit of an acting thing as well, isn't it, really?
I guess. Maybe. It's this is why it's so fascinating to talk to you about this, because I actually don't, I'm just thinking through people I know that, I know people with OCD and I know actors, but I actually don't know if I've ever spoken to another actor like this that has OCD. So I'm finding this really interesting. I don't, but I'm sure there are many of us out there. But because talking to you is making me realise how it makes sense why you might be two of these things, or not just acting, freelance in some way, or creative in some way, because it's that, it's what you just said about the sitting in the uncertainty thing. And then the fact that when you're acting, like, you don't know what's going
to
happen
next. Yeah, and you have to be present, so it's kind of just happening.
And it's so weird that we love doing that.
Yeah.
It's just really, I can't get my head around why.
Because it shouldn't be.
Yeah, but then enjoyable. I suppose there is also, and this was another thing that I was told as a child to make me feel better about being told I had this thing.
Along with David Beckham.
Yeah, along with David Beckham and again, me and Susanna have talked about this, about the fact that, like, it's not a word. I've learnt from Susanna. It's not a word. It's an acronym. I still have to stop myself every time I go, the word acronym OCD.
Great. Haven't.
Right.
I also, so I've been doing this Ladybone show for about a year and a half now. There's a sentence in it where I say, it's an anagram for da 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 da. And our company manager pointed out the other day, it's not, what I say is not an anagram, it's an acronym.
Oh God, that's
so
the
worst. We changed that. Nobody's ever picked
up
on it.
No one will have ever noticed.
But every time I reach that point in the show, I'm like, it's an acronym.
Well, me and Susanna did a whole episode about the acronym OCD.
Great.
And but in that episode, I keep going,
learn something new every day. I had no idea.
Well, yeah, I mean,
obviously.
I keep going. But, you know, if somebody says the word OCD, it's just like
acronym.
And I've had to, like, edit out a lot of me doing that. But something I was told as a child was the creative thing. So I was told, you know, it actually means, but similar to what you said that doctor said at the conference about, you're not, it actually might mean that you're quite a good person.
You're not.
And also that you're creative, and because if you think about it, a lot of OCD is about being incredibly imaginative.
Yeah.
Because
what
you
if this
are,
happens?
Oh my God, the amount of things that I have imagined in my head that are so unlikely that somebody else might not even have come up with
get
that.
To yeah, and it's like your brain is very good at linking things.
Yes,
that like
oh, so that's been done.
Yeah, and then you come up with really creative solutions to kind of alleviate those like frightening creative fantasies.
I mean, let's face it, you've got to be pretty creative to believe that.
I never really
if I touch the door five times,
that
I
magical
won't
thinking.
Die tomorrow.
Yeah,
that takes quite. If you have no imagination, you go.
It's a big old
well,
leap.
No, I won't. Because how on earth is that related?
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes,
it is. It's that creative thing. I never thought about that. That's really nice.
It's
that's
a nice feeling. Well, then you've got, and then you've gone and created
that's
something.
Really lovely.
Well, I was going to ask, do you believe in complete recovery? Like, do you feel like it's gone, or do you feel like it's always going to be something that you might have to manage, or do you feel like it might be something in the future that you'll be able to manage?
You can completely recover from OCD, and I've spoken to lots of people some people who feel like they have.
Yeah.
I think that I definitely will be able to. I'm not quite there yet, I don't think. And like with anything, I think, you know, like, you have a great moment and then life throws something else at you, and I find that when I'm hit by slightly harder things, then it tends to
my
be like
it's
older coping mechanisms pop up. But it's just, I'm very good now at recognising
what's what.
And just being able to be like... And I think I'll always be prone to that way of thinking, but I don't think it means I have to be stuck in a spiral of OCD.
You don't have to be controlled by it.
Yeah, and if I compare myself to how I was when I was really ill...
Yeah.
It's just, like, baffling, like...
So strange. And actually, I realised we totally went over this. The thing that you said about the fact that you don't remember a lot of it, that I found fascinating, because I probably was at my worst in terms of, you know, thinking through my experience when I was about 16, and it was, like, you know, bedridden with it kind of thing. Can't get up.
I couldn't
exactly
do anything.
Exactly this, like, feel like I will never be okay. And it, and that wasn't to do with physical rituals. Wasn't the reason I couldn't get up when I was 16. It was mental rituals and googling and just a lot of reassurance seeking to the point of like. But I don't remember much of that time.
Yeah, I think because I don't know if it's just it takes so much brain energy away, or I mean, you're just not well, are you? So
I think
it's kind
your
of
brain
like, doesn't
looks out for you in a way. Thank you, brain, because it goes. You don't want to think about that.
Yeah,
time.
We don't
that
need to store this. This is not important. Yeah, definitely.
Weird though. Really weird.
Yeah.
And I look back and I'm like, I was on my revision. What's it called? You know when you get time off school to revise?
Oh, yeah, we got that too.
Which makes sense why it suddenly got worse, because I suddenly had all this time.
What's it called? Was it called study leave?
Study leave. I would spend like 2 or 3 hours. Googling, because my OCD then was all about sexuality, and I was like, I can never know if I'm gay or not. And it was really, 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 really strong in my head. And like, I would spend a good half the day on a forum about that, and then I'd do like half an hour history revision, and like, and then I'd be
always
like,
the best way to lighten the mood.
Always the best way, learn about Stalin, and then it would be like, okay, well now I've got to go back and see if anyone's replied to the question that I put on the forum.
Yeah,
and that like
it's juggling a lot of plates.
Oh my god, I
a lot
baffles
of dangerous
me
plates.
Back. Yeah, I'm like, how did I get through my exams?
Yeah, I don't remember with my exams.
Yeah, did yours?
I don't remember.
No.
I just don't remember. And actually, oddly, because I didn't... I quite clearly remember a lot of the stuff from when I was quite tiny. Mm. I think maybe because I've talked over it as well with my family, and they've been like, oh, remember this, remember that.
Yeah.
Which I maybe didn't until they said. So I think... Right. And my brain is quite good at blocking out stuff, like you said, that I don't want to remember.
Yeah.
But I actually kind of struggle to just think what was going on. And there was a whole period between, I guess, between when I was like... a sort of child and then to when I was a sort of older teenager and then when I was 20, like just that I kind of don't really know what was
happened.
OCD and what wasn't, and like what
I think that's really common though, the not know it, because again that's how OCD sometimes takes hold, is it kind of sneaks in ways
and kind of morphs to change with where you're at, which may then become exams or sexuality or wherever you're at in your life at that point. And I think spent so much time feeling scared all the time that it was then just a kind of normal. So I didn't really have much of that time without that. So it kind of didn't really matter that much what else was happening.
Yeah.
It was just like a get through this moment
and then
whatever that is.
Next thing, and then I think, God, I feel like what OCD does, which is clever for me, is that it will, I'll be, if I've tackled one side of it and I'm like, do you know what? Fuck you, I'm gonna anti-OCD the shit out of this one. I'm gonna say, I hope my parents die, and then I'm gonna go to bed and not do any, like, touching wood, whatever. And like, you'll kind of, like, really show it who's boss with your exposure or CBT.
Yeah, whatever it is.
And what I won't realise is that maybe it then snakes in another way.
Yeah, I have found that hugely.
Yeah.
And I found...
It hides in something
and sometimes
else.
Sometimes it takes you longer to work out where it's come in. And I think I hadn't realised, but I think especially... I think as well, because I'm doing a solo show, like, I've got a wonderful team, but ultimately it's me starting on stage.
Yeah.
And I wrote it, and it's kind of my life. So it's sort of... It's all on me a little bit.
Well, yeah.
But and OCD loves responsibility.
Oh,
so
God, of course.
I think...
Yeah.
I don't think I'd noticed, but I... Before the show, I'm a bit like, what if it all goes wrong?
Right.
What if everything is terrible and I'm the worst and
I've got
and it all go da 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 da.
Do you have superstitions or certain warm-ups that you have to do before the show?
So not anymore.
Not anymore, yes! Yeah. This is like me.
Yeah, so I used to do all sorts of stuff before...
Must do this roll down for 30 seconds.
Yeah, must tie my shoes 3 times,
yeah.
Whatever. But no, not anymore. And I... make a point of... Yeah, okay.
Not
so,
doing it.
Yeah, I make a point of doing the thing that should be the bad thing to do, because yes. then I just have to keep on top of it, because if I let it slip in, it goes.
Yeah.
So, but also I think it tends to creep in a bit. So I'm very good at doing anti-OCD stuff when it's something that doesn't feel very important right now. So I'll be like, right. oh, what if I did it? I can easily do that.
Yeah.
But with the show, especially because this show is like, I've made it from my heart, like here yeah. it is.
It's and it's all vulnerable. In like 20 minutes, you're warming
yeah.
up.
Yeah, so that is when I really have to be like, make the choice to do the thing that yeah. feels scary. And my brain is like, yeah, but it's not worth messing up for this, because this is... And I'm like, nah,
can I
screw
talk about
you.
How cool this is, that you are doing a show about your OCD that you've written,
yeah.
that you are then having to challenge your OCD
There's
about.
A real irony.
I love that, though.
Yeah. But it's satisfying as well, because sometimes yeah. I can be a bit like... 3/4 of the way through the show, there is the bit where I do the thing that is the anti-OCD thing.
Mm. Which bit
and,
is that?
I like drink a kind of Coke.
Yes,
I don't
yes.
know. I don't know how it translates on audio.
It
but
works.
Yeah.
So I've listened to Saoirse's play on Audible, which you can too. I'm obviously going to mention that again at the end. But you can buy it on Audible, and it makes a really good listen.
Along
and
with four other ace
four
plays.
Four other great plays, which I've been listening to
yeah,
as well. I haven't finished all of them,
brilliant.
But I was like, oh, great, I get four for the price of one.
Exactly.
No, it does translate. I can't remember whether
good.
You drink a sound.
I drink... Oh, I can't remember whether... I don't know if they put that in because we recorded it just in case.
But genuinely, I sat in the bath listening to this moment, and I was like... I like tensed up because I was like, oh, I know that feeling. Like
yeah.
I've never had it about drinking a Diet Coke, but or a Coke.
Yeah.
But like, I knew what you were going through having to do that. So is that actually one of
yours? The Diet Coke thing is not.
Okay, so that yeah, that's an invented one.
That is an invented
okay.
one, and but I think drinking something that I don't know where it's come from or something would be.
Would
yeah.
have been.
I really don't like Coke, and I just can't stand it. I just don't think it's very nice. And so every
Fair
show
enough.
I have to drink a big slug of Diet Coke. Don't write props into your show that you don't
that,
want to commit
yeah.
to. But I never think of these things at the time.
You don't think of it.
Too far gone.
So like just to explain, so your character is made to do the anti-OCD thing, which is...
Or encouraged.
Encouraged,
yeah.
made, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Forced.
No, you will never yeah. be forced in therapy, but encouraged to drink it, even though
yeah.
that's her OCD saying.
Yeah, she's scared
it's
that
not
there's something wrong with it and it's not safe, yeah.
Yeah, and does that bring back feelings for you when you do it?
Like, I find it really nice when I do it. And
do you?
Yeah, I love it. And we did like a Q&A in Edinburgh with the charity, and a young woman came and she just found out she had OCD.
Yeah.
I'm sure she won't mind me saying. And she was with her mum and she came and watched the show and she was sat... right in front of me for that bit, and I saw her crying.
Oh, gosh.
And it was just like a really like cathartic, nice
wow.
moment.
Yeah.
And it's nice to do it because it's obviously it's really easy to drink.
Yes.
For me to
yes.
drink a bit of Diet Coke, and it's. But finding the moment again is quite pleasing.
Well, I think when you've
exploring
actually
it,
seen
yeah.
that reaction in somebody in the audience,
mm.
that's got to be like the biggest reward ever.
Yeah.
Really.
And chatting to people afterwards is so.
Yeah. So what kind
so
of
lovely.
What kind of response have you had anyone that's like, I think I've got it but I don't know? Or
so I think so we've had people coming and saying that they didn't know that they had OCD and now they
and
do,
now they do.
Know
from
that that's what it
the
is
play.
Yeah, which seems bonkers actually to me, but it's of
that's
course it's
amazing.
Not like I think I would have been the same if I'd seen that and then if
yeah.
it'd seen something similar and
well you
and
did with
like,
the documentary
exactly
yeah.
and I was like, oh wow, that's me. And
yeah.
we've had quite a lot of people who've found out quite recently and aren't sure where to go, so it's
right.
been really nice to like have the charity to be like, here
this is
help.
Where you go.
Yeah. And they can offer info or support.
So
or
that's OCD UK.
OCD UK.
Right. We will put them in the show notes
yeah.
as well.
Nice.
But
yeah.
Really.
Yeah. OCD Action
top,
also
top notch
yeah.
Charities.
Brilliant
that
charities.
Were there for you.
Yeah. They're so good. And in fact, OCD UK, they had a. I think I googled like, what is OCD help or something.
Yes.
I
mean,
along those lines.
Probably done that.
Yeah. And they had a page on their website that was like, print this off if you think you have OCD and take it to your GP. So I literally printed it. I don't think I said anything. I'm like, hello.
Yeah.
Handed over this page and the doctor was like, asked me some questions with like, yes, you have this.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, and so odd that it can be like so clear, because I very obviously had OCD. If you ask any of the questions of, do you have da-da-da-da, whatever it is, the intrusive thoughts, the
yeah.
compulsions, like it was all very like set text, like by the book, but just, you know, interesting that that can't.
Which is fascinating when you go back to what we talked about quite in the beginning, about the fact that it's really personal and it can feel really individual to you.
Yeah.
And yet the bare bones of it are like...
By the book, really.
By the book. Yeah.
Yeah.
And which can feel reassuring when you do discover that that's what it is. And this kind of also ties in with this question of what would you say to somebody listening that is either knows they have it and are really struggling, like they're you in your worst time, or they think they've got it and but they've not been diagnosed and they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've given you two things that you need to give advice on.
I can do section A and section B.
What would you say to section A and section B, please?
Great. So I think if you have OCD and you're really struggling, OCD, like we said, can be a proper bastard and it can really get in there where it matters. But without being a bit basic about it, recovery and finding quality of life is so possible. Mm. And it might take a while, and I think obviously everybody's different and different things work for different people. Like CBT can be great, medication can be great if you need time to kind of lessen some symptoms and stuff. But
which
I think,
is what I had to do.
I think for me, just like knowing that other people experienced it too and had come through that and are in a different place, and I cannot express what a different place in my life I'm in to when I was, like, throughout my childhood and then when I was kind of like in my very early 20s. Like, I have a whole life that I really love.
Yay.
And I really didn't. And so it's like a really nice journey to go on. So I think, like, there really is hope, not in a wishy-washy kind of way,
but
in a very concrete way. And I think, like, if you have a support network around you, like, use it.
Yeah.
And
if you don't?
And if you don't, there are places to go. Like, the charities are great. Go to your doctor.
Will talk to you.
And there's also just, like, there's a lot of people with OCD out there who just completely get what you're going through.
You're talking about. Like, even just sitting here talking to you is amazing.
Yeah, it's so trippy.
It's really amazing. And I think ringing, if you feel like you don't have a support network that will be there for you, like, I've called up the guys at OCD Action before, and they are there on the end of the phone. And the same with
OCD UK, for sure,
and there are people, and they all understand it, they all know what it is, and they're not judgmental in any way, and like they will tell you where to what to do next.
You can be really struggling, but it doesn't make you any less human or valid, or like you can be having a really shit difficult time, but it doesn't make you any less of a valid person, because I think I felt like it really did.
Mm-hmm.
I think I felt like I wasn't worth anything because this was all that was in my brain.
Yeah.
And also I think I had a bit of a moment where I was like, oh no, like when I get rid of this OCD, like, is it going to get rid of some of my personality or how I am?
Mm-hmm.
And like, of course it doesn't. I'm a whole human. Like, but I think I kind of had that as a worry, but that really isn't. If anything,
that's
it just lets your personality, like, come through. Because what I found out as well is, like, OCD isn't really how I am. Like, I'm not, like, naturally stuck in that and fixated on those things. I'm a lot of other stuff. So I think it's really, like, joyous to, like, find the bits of yourself that were kind of stamped down because they didn't have space to
grow.
Exist.
I just feel like I could talk to you all day.
Same.
And I found this really uplifting and positive.
That's really nice.
Not that I wasn't expecting to, but, you know, because we're talking about something that can be very, very debilitating and, like...
Yeah, and that we've both experienced and had, like, rough rides.
Shit times.
Yeah.
And, like, I think the message that you are bringing, and you also bring it through Lady Bones, is one of joy and happiness.
Yeah,
does exist, that is out there for anybody, whether you're mentally unwell or not.
Yeah.
And whether you are at recovery stage, or at the very beginning, or somewhere in the middle and not sure if you'll ever get there, but ploughing on with your therapy or whatever... You, through this conversation, but also in the play, give the message that, like life is now and there is stuff, happy times can be around.
When I was ill, like, and whether or not it's, like, a kind of coping mechanism or a kind of relief, it's nice to find those little things. Like, I find it really helpful if it's, like, a physical thing, like a hot bath or, like...
Really?
I think when you're having a tricky time, finding, like, concrete physical things in the now can be really useful.
Yeah.
And again, I know that sounds a bit like the best of a bad situation, but in a kind of practical way, like... So I find doing something, and because so much of my OCD was like, I'm a bad person, finding physical things like putting on a nice hand cream or like having a bath or
being
eating something I like if I felt like I could eat, like, were really nice. Yeah, being kind to yourself.
Advice.
And I'm still learning that one.
Yes.
And I'm getting a lot better at it. It's taken me like a good 26-ish years, but I'm getting quite good at it, I would say.
Yeah. And I think that is something that OCD can take from you, because it's going, you don't deserve this.
Any of this nice stuff. Yeah. So it's
how
like
many times, yeah.
Saying fuck you to the OCD. Because you do. On the B, there was a B. So it was for people who maybe think they maybe have OCD.
Yeah, so if they think they've got it but they don't know what the next step should be.
I think, like, again, the charities charities can be really useful. I think, again, this doctor at the conference said often because it's so about doubt and uncertainty, often if you think you might, it might be something that you do have. That's obviously not for certain, but
well, it's worth going and talking to someone.
Yeah, I think just go and talk to someone, and there is a lot more information about OCD now, I think.
Yes.
And a lot more people are informed, and charities work with different organisations to, and it's more present, like more people I know are making work about it, and it's been on TV and stuff. So I feel
like one of the major things that might stop somebody going and getting help is a shame over the thoughts that they're having, like a feeling of shame.
Hugely.
So I think it's also about knowing that you're not going to be judged for what you tell the person, but also knowing that you don't necessarily need to tell that first doctor that you go to speak to exactly what you're thinking. Yeah. You can just say...
It's completely valid to give as much information as you feel.
Yeah, you don't have to say what it is.
And also, you are not the OCD if you have OCD. Like, if you're worried... A lot of people are really worried that they might be a paedophile. Yeah. It's not about... you being a paedophile is about...
Even though if you have OCD, it's going to tell you that that's what it's about.
So I think it's...
knowing that you can go to the doctor and say, I'm having intrusive thoughts that are making me feel awful all the time. I'm doing X, Y, Z. I think it might be this. You don't necessarily need to tell that doctor if you don't feel comfortable what your thoughts are around or about.
Completely.
It might... Because that might take a bit of time once you have therapy. But it's about telling them... the behaviour that you've got, because that will probably help.
Yeah, there was a point in my life where I was certain I would go to my grave before I told anyone any of the stuff that was going on in my brain. And I specifically,
and
my family, I was
stage.
Like, I will die before my parents know this about my brain. Or,
gosh.
And I just, and like, I've gone very 180 on that.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I talk about it all the time. Like, so it's, and it's very... And the shame is not yours. Like, if you're...
It's not you. It's not who you are. I was just going to say... I was going to ask if you could wave a magic wand.
Don't know what my wand is.
What house are you?
Gryffindor.
Yeah.
What are you?
I see that. I'm a Hufflepuff.
I thought so. It's good. It's good.
I shouldn't groan before,
like,
you know,
that.
Being a Hufflepuff's
be
fine.
Be proud.
Guys. Yeah, it's fine.
In your yellow.
I like yellow.
I like Hufflepuffs.
It's good. But so if you could wave your wand and never have had OCD, would you do it?
No.
Oh,
I'm very clear on this.
Straight in there.
And it's very much changed. Like, I would have given anything not to have it when I was really ill. And even afterwards. But no, like, we are who we are without being silly. And, like, I think it's given me a lot of resilience as well. And a lot of skills that I've learned to cope. Especially after with therapy and stuff, it's given me a lot of really good life skills. And I'm actually quite good in a crisis.
Really?
Like, in real life. Because I've had experience of feeling like I'm in crisis.
So many times.
But actually, when stuff happens, I'm quite calm and collected. So I think, no.
I love that.
No, yeah, and I do feel quite certain about that.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect to feel like that.
No, that's
ever.
Great. That is so great. I think it shows where you're at with your journey with it. And also, just this whole conversation has been so inspiring.
Guess who's back? Back again. It's me. Hi, it's Susanna. Remember, you can catch Lady Bones on Audible, live at the Oldham Coliseum on 14th of May, Square Chapel Halifax 15th of May, and Slung Low Leeds 7th of June. As always, please check out OCD Action and OCD UK for support. We have linked both in the show notes below. And if you are struggling, remember Saoirse's wise words. You're not your OCD, you are a whole person, and it does not define who you are. You can find us on Twitter at RepeatPod1 and Instagram at OnRepeatPodcast. You can also email us your stories or feedback on repeatpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Last thing, please rate, subscribe and review the podcast. Thanks so much. Bye.